Hello, it's me, Lily, a frog. I live in a pond and I love to tell stories. Once upon a time, there were two kids who lived in a great big castle where nothing interesting ever happened. The castle was in a kingdom high on a mountaintop that looked over vast fields of oats. The people in the kingdom grew oats, and they ate oats, and they brought oats as tariffs to the king and queen who lived in the castle. The king and queen ate oatmeal for breakfast, for lunch, and for dinner. They had no children. The king and queen played crokinole after their morning oats. They went for a walk in the highlands after their lunch hour oats. And in the evening, after their oatmeal supper, they read history books. Nobody ever visited or attack the kingdom above the vast field of oats. Nothing happened out of the ordinary, never ever, or the two kids who lived there and worked as servants there would have surely noticed. They very badly wanted something to happen. They were the servants in charge of oatmeal. The boy got up early to make the oatmeal. The girl set the dishes out for the oatmeal. She served the oatmeal, and she returned to the kitchen with the dirty dishes, which the boy washed. The rest of their time, they were expected to sit still in the great foyer, wearing scratchy woolen uniforms, in case something interesting happened, and something other than oatmeal service was expected of them. But nothing interesting ever happened, and nothing was expected of them beyond the preparation and serving of oatmeal. Until one stormy night, when the thunder boomed and the wind raged and the fields of oatmeal were flattened against the ground in the hard, driving rain, and everybody was so glad to be inside the castle on a night like that, with a nice bowl of warm oatmeal, with the servant in charge of stoking fires, and the shutters shut. Imagine their surprise, though, when there was a loud rapping at the door. The doorman in charge of the door jumped up. "Who could it be on a night like this?" "Summon the king and the queen," said the doorman to the children in charge of oatmeal. "Summon them immediately while I answer the door." Oh, how very exciting. The boy and the girl jumped up from their hard chairs in the great foyer, and they ran up the stairs in their scratchy woolen uniforms. "A knock at the door?" said the queen, looking up from her book, A History of Oatmeal Spurtles Produced in the Outer Hebrides, 1512 to 1592. "But who could it be on a night like tonight?" "A knock at the door," said the king, looking up from his book, A History of Scythe Innovation in High-Altitude Oat-Producing Regions, 1468 to 1600. "Well, I couldn't say," said the girl. "But maybe..." Then she bit her tongue. "But maybe what?" "Maybe who?" said the queen. "Out with it, girl." "Maybe it's a princess," said the girl. The boy shot her a warning look. The king roared with laughter. "A princess? Here, on a night like tonight? Well, I've never, never, never have I ever. Oh, let's go have a look-see then." When they arrived in the great foyer, the doorman and the fire stoker and the charwoman and the ladies' maids were toweling dry a sopping wet girl with long, 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 long dark hair. The girl was wearing a plain dress and a plain coat, and she had no shoes upon her feet. "That's not a princess," whispered the queen to the servant girl. "But where is the stable, lad?" asked the king. "Beg your pardon, your highness," said the girl, bowing down deeply. "He has taken my horse to your stables. 100 apologies for an intrusion on a night like tonight. I am but a humble peasant girl who has gotten lost on the dark mountainside and seeks shelter from the bad weather. I'm certainly not a princess who is here traveling incognito. If I could hide out here... if I could seek shelter here for but a week or two, I promise to get out of your hair and not to disturb your quiet kingdom again. I will even work for my keep, if there's something you need not a princess to do. Well, I suppose, considering the weather, I mean, I don't see any harm in your spending a fortnight here, said the king. We have plenty of rooms, and the oats have been so abundant. Shall we have some oatmeal fixed for you, or would you like to go straight to bed? Oh, I can think of nothing more delightful than a warm bowl of oatmeal followed by a cozy bed. But please don't go to too much trouble with the bed. I am not a princess, so 10 or 20 mattresses should do just fine. Well, now the girl and the boy had to go to the kitchen to prepare a late-night meal of oats, while the doorman and the fire stoker dragged mattresses from all over the castle to make a very high bed for the not a princess, and the stable lad, when he returned from sheltering the stranger's horse, was tasked with constructing a ladder so that she could climb all the way to the top of her very high bed. I'm telling you, she's a princess, said the girl to the boy. But what would she be doing here? Asked the boy. Maybe she's hiding out because she's so rich and so beautiful that everyone wants to marry her. So she's constructed some sort of elaborate test to see who will marry a false princess while she's away in another kingdom. This one. Oh, pish, said the boy. Oh, tosh, said the charwoman. Pish tosh, said the doorman. But that night, the oatmeal servant girl snuck out of her bed to the library to look for a book that could answer the question, how do I know if a real princess has arrived in our kingdom in the middle of the night during a thunderstorm? And she discovered a book called A History of Tests for Realness of Princesses Through the Centuries. And she read it hungrily in one sitting. The next morning she was a bit bleary-eyed as she served the oatmeal, but she begged her pardon during the king and queen's game of croquenol to show them something she had read in the book. Quote, there was one true test for true princesses and through the centuries, which is to place a pea under the mattress of a princess while she sleeps. A true princess will have such a delicate constitution that she will suffer a torturous sleep and wake with a bruise on the very limb which was resting above the offending pea. The truest princesses will not be able to sleep upon a pea, even if there are 30 mattresses piled between the pea and the princess's delicate body. But whatever is a pea? Asked the queen. Well, I believe it's some sort of legume, responded the king. So it isn't made of oats, then? Asked the queen. No, no, not at all. It is produced by another plant entirely. Well, wherever would we get one? Asked the queen. I suppose one of us would need to travel down into the valley to find one there, replied the king. Just then, the stranger entered the lounge in which the king and the queen played their mid-morning game of croquenol, and she curtsied deeply. She was so beautiful and well-mannered that the king and the queen and the servant girl found that a smile danced upon their lips as soon as she greeted them. Please pardon the intrusion, said the not a princess, but I was wondering if I might repay your kind hospitality in any way. Perhaps there is some labor or chore you'd have me complete at your behest? Oh, don't worry about it, dear, said the queen. We have all we need. Things run smoothly enough around here. In fact, I dare say some of our servants might complain there isn't enough work to go around, and the days maybe tend to drag a bit as it is. Everybody looked at the servant girl then, and a blush rose to her cheeks. Why, whatever is that old book in your arms, servant girl? Asked the not a princess. The servant girl held it up because she was asked to, and the not a princess's warm, cheerful face turned cold as she read the title aloud. A History of Tests for Realness of Princesses Through the Centuries. What rubbish, she said. I must concur with you that your staff is not well employed if they bother themselves with such salacious and lubricious mendacity passing itself off as sagacity, wisdom, or truth. The servant girl wasn't sure what most of those words meant, but she knew the stranger seemed unkind suddenly, so she begged her pardon and left the parlor at once. That afternoon, following the lunch of oatmeal, The queen made a decree on the highlands, which was that the stable lad should travel by horse to the valley to procure a pea with which to test the princessness of the girl they'd agreed to shelter within their walls. Furthermore, it was decreed that the test be secret and nobody reveal to the stranger the plot. The stable lad rode for 4 days to the valley. He procured a bag of peas on the fifth day, and he returned home after 9 days of travel. On that evening, the inhabitants ate peas stirred into their oatmeal for dinner. "Curious," said the Nodded Princess, holding a pea up on her spoon. "I didn't think these grew around these parts." Her eyes narrowed at the servant girl, and she looked askance at the queen. The queen looked steadily back at the stranger, and the king coughed into a royal hanky. And the charwoman said, "Can't say I'm fond of him myself. I don't like things different than the way they always is." That night the queen placed not one, but 5 peas under the not a princess's mattress. And not a thing happened. The not a princess slept just fine. The king inquired about her rest at breakfast, and she proclaimed it one of the best sleeps she'd had ever in her lifetime. "Well, I guess that's that," said the queen. "I'm telling you, she's a princess," the servant girl told the servant boy while he was washing the dishes. "Oh, you just never give up, do you?" he asked, shaking his head and rolling his eyes. But that evening at dinner time, something happened. The king and the queen gathered all the inhabitants of the kingdom to their balcony, and the king cried, "Hear ye, hear ye, a royal proclamation doth be proclaimeth. These many years the queen and I have been pretending to be childless, so that our handsome and intelligent and very rich son not be disturbed by the many princesses who would wish to marry him, but no more. Behold, we verily reveal to you that the stable boy is actually our son, our true heir. His name is Exalthar, and he will inherit this kingdom in 365 days. Exalthar is brave. Exalthar is handsome. Exalthar is a prince among men, and it is time that Exalthar wed. If anybody knows of a smart, rich, beautiful princess that Exalthar should marry, her parents should approach us. Thank you. Exalthar, do you have anything to add?" "Yes, I do," said the stable boy, tearing off his stable boy reeds to reveal a dashing suit decorated with golden brocade and tassels. He took off his stable boy hat next to shake a shining head of fine curls topped with a golden crown. He smiled a radiant princely smile, and he began to speak. "I have traveled to the distant valley and learned that there are many people there who do not have any oats with which to make oatmeal." All the people in the kingdom gasped. "But they do have honey, cheeses, meats, breads, cakes, meads, pumpkins, apples, cherries, spices, salt, onions, garlic, silks, and more other things than I could possibly list. I think we should establish a trade route with them whereby we exchange our oats for the many things they have." The people of the kingdom oohed and aahed, and something very unexpected happened next. The stranger, the not a princess who had arrived at the castle a fortnight before, tossed a grappling hook up into the castle balcony, upon which the king and the queen and the prince Exalthar were standing, and she climbed a rope up to them and stood with them. She said, "I proclaim that idea a brilliant one. You are exactly the smart, rich, and beautiful prince I wish to marry. My name is Princess Rialfa, and I am the true princess of the valley. I wish to forge an alliance between my people and yours for a true marriage of mountain and valley, reinforced by the glorious union of your prince and myself." "But how do we know you're a real princess?" the crowd jeered. She took a dove out from beneath her garments, and then she said to the people, "If I release this dove, and it returns in 3 hours with 1,000 men on horseback proclaiming, 'All hail Princess Rialfa,' will that convince you?" Everybody said yes, yes it would, and that is what she did. 1,000 men on horseback followed the dove back proclaiming, "All hail Princess Rialfa," and it was agreed that the alliance be forged and the prince and the princess be married and rule the two kingdoms together as one. When the servant girl had a chance, she pulled Princess Rialta aside and she asked her about the P-test for princesses. "Oh, that! I just don't know where that rubbish comes from," said the princess. "I sleep very well. Good princesses do. I think it's my clear conscience, my healthy diet, and my rigorous exercise regime." They didn't live exactly happily ever after because of the many wars that ensued when knowledge of how rich the new kingdom was spread to the many isles, and those wars brought plague and then famine, and later on there was a scourge of dragons. But they did their best to solve problems as they presented themselves, and all in all the kingdoms flourished, and the little servant boy and the little servant girl were never, ever, ever bored again.